Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Martin Zwilling is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Martin is a new friend, and he's the founder and CEO of Startup Professionals, which is an organization that provides products and services to startups and small business owners just like you, just like me. He is a contributor to Forbes.com, and as am I. You might see both of our names and perhaps faces on their website at the same time sometimes. And certainly today that's going to happen because of our distribution partnership with Forbes. You'll see Martin there on my feature, on my resource there at Forbes.com. And he's written an article recently about business planning. I wanted to get his thoughts on that. Martin Zwilling, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and I'm a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here, Martin. My audience knows that there are a few topics on small business that you can bring up that we have talked about more than business planning. In fact, there may not be a topic that we've talked about more than business planning. And I think it's a very important topic, obviously, or we wouldn't have covered it that much. Anytime we can get new ideas, fresh thoughts on business planning, I like to make my audience, make it available to my audience. And your recent article is I consider to qualify that way. And so we congratulate you on that. And I want to get you to talk to us a little bit about what you're thinking about 21st century business planning. Is different from 20th century planning, isn't it?
I think so, definitely. And, first of all, let me say that I believe a business plan is important to an entrepreneur, whether he's looking for funding or whether he's trying to fund the business himself. It's important to him.
Operating the business is essential, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. A lot of people come to me because I'm associated with investors. They say, well, I'm not going to get an investment, so I don't need a business plan, right? And I say, wrong. You know, that's
right.
Really the wrong reason to be doing a business plan, but it's certainly a reason if that's where you're going.
Well, every business has to have every business that grows. Well, if you don't grow, you don't survive, and so therefore you have to grow. And every business that grows has to fund that growth, and that growth funding has to come from some source, from internal profits, from investors, or from debt. As you know, Martin, most small businesses fund their significant growth through corporate some kind of bank debt, typically. And your banker's going to want to see what you're up to, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They all want to see the same thing, which is what is your product? But just as importantly, what's the opportunity that you're addressing? Who's your competition?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of projections do you have? All of those kind of things. There's no magic in this. It's very straightforward. And yet it seems strange to me that so many people struggle with this.
Well, I wrote an article not long ago. I say not long ago, probably a long time ago now, where I said, you say your business plan every day. And if you think about it, whenever you have a conversation with somebody about your business, they're asking you questions. If you answer those questions, you're basically saying your business plan, aren't you?
That's correct. And in fact, I actually start with an elevator pitch, which is maybe a 30-second kind of thing, which I say you need to get all of the key elements of the whole plan into that 30 seconds if you're going to get somebody's attention.
That's the executive summary of the executive summary, isn't it?
That's right.
You've got a list of 10 things here. Let's go down through a few of them. First up, and I think this is very important. Number one, you say is define the problem. One of the things we've talked about over the years on this show is you can't have a solution looking for a problem. You got to find a problem and then create the solution, don't you?
That's right. And in fact, to me, this is one of the biggest mistakes, especially technical people make, is they come up with some new exciting technology and they try to develop it, and they really haven't thought yet about what solution they can build with that technology. And I think certainly from an investor standpoint, that's one of the first red flags that people look for. Say,
right.
Does this guy really understand the problem that he's solving? Because people pay for solutions. They don't pay for technology.
Right. And it's their first glimpse at what the business is all about, isn't it?
That's right. It's certainly very, very important kind of thing. It, you know, when I listen to people who are talking about their new idea, their new business, that's the first thing I listen for is what is the problem that you're solving, and then get into the the financial model, the business model, and say, can you make money doing that?
You know, it's just like when you watch a movie. Is this going to be a Western? Is it going to be a situation comedy, a romantic comedy, or a drama or a thriller? What's it going to be? Oh, you're going to make better shoestrings. Okay, tell me more.
Right. Right.
And then, so then when you tell them more, what's the next thing you tell them?
Well, I think that you need to talk about the opportunity. You really have to have a market. One of the common things that I'll get to it later, I guess, is that they say, well, I don't have any competition. And my reaction to that is, well, if there's no competition, there must not be a market.
Yeah, I was going to say, when someone says that, that's when you say, okay, this meeting's over.
Right. And I've worked with venture capitalists. I've worked with angel investors, and they read business plans like I do every day. And, in fact, it's pretty common to say, okay, let me just start on page one. And as soon as I get to that first red flag like that one, then it goes into the waste can.
Oh, yeah.
The trick is to make sure you get people and hold their attention all the way through.
Right, exactly. So, all right, what's next?
Well, I would say very, very important along the way, as I mentioned, is the business model. What is it, in fact, that you're going to do in terms of pricing? What is it that you're going to have for costs, and how do you make money at that?
So right.
You have to have a business model. People can go on and on about how great their product is, but if you charge $1 million for it, it may not be so attractive.
Let's land on this business model thing a lot, because I use that term quite a bit, and I've explained it before, but it's very important people understand that business model is a very handy term, isn't it? Because it really cuts to the chase on how you're going to take these new shoestrings you're going to make and you're going to sell, how you're actually going to convert that into something that sustains the business, makes a profit, and is the reason for being there.
Right. And this isn't black magic either. I mean, these are very obvious things, but in fact, it's something you definitely have to think about. And everyone seems to be, of course, in the mode of saying, I can build this product cheaper than anybody else.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't really consider all the costs.
You got to be able to explain your business model, folks, in probably as part of your elevator speech. Hold on to that thought, Martin. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 20 after the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me, because we still got Martin's Willing staying with us. We're talking about business planning. And if you want to find out more about business planning, folks, you can go to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We've got lots and lots of stuff there we've accumulated and acquired and posted for you over the years, things you can read, you can listen to, you can ask questions, lots of stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Martin, give us your website and tell us how we can find you.
Okay, you can find me on my website. It's www.startupprofessionals.com, or my blog, which is blogstartupprofessionals.com.
Yeah, and you're also Startup Pro on Twitter, right?
That's right. I have quite a following on Twitter as Startup Pro. I'm also on LinkedIn as Martin Zwilling, or on Facebook.
Right. So check him out, folks, there. And now that we've found Martin, we're not going to let him go. Martin, we're talking about business planning for the 21st century. Key things that you need to have when you're trying to run your business better, make your banker more comfortable, and or possibly attract investors. What's the next thing you need to focus on?
Well, one of the things I think we might have just mentioned is competition. And there, to me, this is one where you have the opportunity to really say clearly, how you separate yourself from your competition. A lot of people shy away from this section thinking, well,
You got to have it, because you can't assume that the people looking at it know your industry, know what's going on in the landscape. You've got to expose your exposure, and as you say, then explain how what you're going to do about it.
That's right. You know, what I look for is what I call a sustainable competitive advantage. What is it that you're doing that will keep you alive when all the big gorillas wake up, or when everybody else sees what you're doing and says, "Wow, that's great."
And it's not just about lower price either, is it?
No, it's
in fact, if that's even in your description, you're probably not going to be. It's probably going to diminish your attractiveness, I would think.
That's correct, because it's not clear at this stage that you even know what your real costs are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we look for something like a patent or trademarks, something that gives you some protection for the differential that you have, and then just plain something that's marketable that's different.
Right. Right. All right, what's next?
Well, certainly one of the most important things, what I flip to first is the executive section or the team description. I'm looking for people that have been there and done that. I'm looking for people who have domain experience, which means you're an expert in that business area. Looking for people that have run business before.
And it's not just a capability standpoint. It's not just can these people do the job, but isn't the very first thought, can this leadership attract this kind of the right kind of people?
That's right.
Isn't that really the first part of this?
It is all about leadership, certainly. And I think, one of the things I've learned over the years is that great leaders can take a really mediocre idea and make lots of money, make it really successful, as opposed to a poor leader can take a great idea and it'll fail.
What you just said has been a fact since humanity's, for the history of humanity. All the things you just said. A great plan with a bad team is not going to make it, but a good team with a mediocre plan will. All right, what's next?
Well, I think we finally get down to the financial projections. I actually expect people to project where they're going to be in terms of revenue, expenses, and profit for 5 years. And this is one that seems to stump a lot of people. They say, well, how can I project even next year until I get through, the next few months? I won't know what I can do. But the reality is you have to set yourself some objectives. You have to show some confidence. You have to be able to understand your marketplace and make some reasonable projections. Otherwise, you're never going to get there.
Well, exactly. This is hard for startups, though, isn't it?
I think it's hard, but it's certainly a necessary kind of thing. It shouldn't be that hard. You can go look at some other people. In fact, if you're talking to investors, there are some rules of thumb that say, hey, if you can't project a revenue growth up to $20 million within 5 years, then you're probably not in the scope of something that gives us a return.
Which is the exit strategy, which we're going to get to in a second. But this, staying on this projection thing for a second, one of the big problems with projections is most people don't know how to do them, and most people don't know people who can help them with it. CPAs won't help you with this. CPAs deal in history. They don't deal in futures. Don't put your budget. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me when I was in the consulting business, and they brought me their budget. That's not a projection, is it?
No, absolutely not. And certainly that's probably a conservative kind of thing. And maybe you want to be conservative, but sometimes there's room to be aggressive because you're trying to set the future here. And
right.
If you set it too low, you will achieve too low.
I had a banker tell me once, if you can only bring me one document, bring me your cash flow projection.
Cash flow is everything. And in fact, that's where you have to then calculate if you're looking to get an investor.
Right.
You have to figure out what it is that you're going to need by looking at the cash flow, see how far negative it goes.
And if you're looking for an investor, if you don't have an exit strategy, if you're just out there wandering around forever and ever, you're not going to get an investor, are you? They got to have an exit strategy.
They got to have an exit strategy, and people don't understand that the reason for that is that they want to get their money out. They're putting money in that may be there and unavailable to them for 5 years. They want to get a return. And if you say, hey, I'm going to ride this thing forever, it's going to be a family business, that sounds like I'm going to put this money in and I'll never see it again.
Exactly, because that, yeah, that's exactly right. So you got to have that, folks. Hey, Martin, good job today. Will you come back another day?
I'll definitely come back. Just let's stay in touch and we'll figure it out.
We've had a lot of fun. Thanks for being here.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.